where we raised the issue of the number of teachers exiting the profession, the numbers graduating, and we needed empirical data to support some of the contentions that people were making. So that document speaks to that. I'm not going to go through it now. We'll go through some of those things when we end up discussing that area in the draft report. Okay, so that is for your information at this stage. I want to suggest that we go to, I think we're starting book two, am I right? That's base education 20. You'll see that there's another document. It's a single page. It's called Addendum 1. That document goes into book 2. It's at the relevant place. For some reason, it wasn't there. Oh, it is more elaborate. Okay. Okay. It's this document here. Yeah, it says Addendum 1. It goes into Book 2. Okay? Does this help Dr. Klopas Lorenz there? Anybody else need help? Okay, let's start. As I said last week, we're going to go through these submissions now at a faster pace. I've asked people to look at the submissions and just tag the issues that they want to raise in the meeting. The first input is by Ms. Nyatela. That's Best Education 20. We're now continuing. Okay. Let's continue. Basically, this is a submission around a particular school, which is called Heidelberg Primary School, and the ablution facilities are in a bit of a state. Now, I've asked that this submission be submitted to the Minister's office and the MEC's office. I believe that letters have been written by Mr. Brown and submitted. Anybody want to raise anything here? I think this is a matter of this particular school being a problem. But, of course, infrastructure is a challenge generally. We took an input when we were in Pretoria about the infrastructure issues. We will obviously raise that issue in the correct context when we get there. Best Ed 21, Mr. Bundy.
The submission is looking for funding to support a particular school, that the agricultural college in Taylor Care. So maybe those are needs to be referred to an element there.
What I've done is I've put a note here that I need to speak to various people, including obviously higher education. I think higher education should get a copy of this submission as well, Mr. Brown. And I will also speak to trade and industry people with regard to this particular issue. So that one there I've flagged for myself. Anybody want to raise anything in this regard? Can we move on? Thank you. Let's move on. 22.
Submission 22 calls for cognitive training in the school context. Mrs. Van Tieren has a project that promotes cognitive training. It also links with the mental cognitive approach that you reflect on the previous.
Okay. This again will go hand in hand with the previous project that we dealt with on cognitive training. And I just want to recall what we had said we were going to do is to draft a resolution in such a way as to say that the department has to have some idea of what the latest developments are in terms of training and teaching and so on, and that they need to have a platform where people can come and showcase and whatever it is that they've created and developed and so on. Okay? Dr.
Lovett? You should also refer it to higher education because it's very important when it comes to the training of teachers. This should be part of the training of teachers at university, on at tertiary level already.
Thank you. Dr. Klopas Lawrence, I suggest what Mr. Brown you do is to look at it, draft something, send it to me, and then we'll send a copy to you so that you can also add. So make a note there for me. Next one, BAS Education 23.
Sorry, just before that, there's also a call for mother tongue literacy training for 6 year olds in Transition 22. I yet to engage on the language issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's what I wanted to say. That is the practice at the moment. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the only difference would be with the review that we've heard about. Remember, we took that briefing from the DG, is that they claim that while you keep your mother tongue in your foundation phase, you add the second language, which especially if it's going to be the language of teaching and learning at a later stage, you add it at the earlier stage. So in other words, instead of kids, I think they are only introduced to their second language at grade 3, which is 2 years too late. They're adding that language up front. So that's the only difference. I don't know if the submission is taken to them or what, because I thought, like Moshwana and others, that in fact, currently it is mother tongue taught at the initial stage. So I think that submission is either
Submission 23 decides the poor teacher remuneration. Similar to what we have already considered.
I think we've had, you know, where's my The issue of the number of teachers, we've had this discussion before, together with the research that is now being done. But I think we must pronounce ourselves on this other issue of the salary of teachers. We took a very substantive on the issue of teachers' salary. What do people think? Should we deal with this? And given, of course, that we've got this strike, which is also a very tense stage, should we have a substantive discussion on the issue of this? Because this is now the second time. Remember, the first time was that Professor Johansson, that somebody else gave us. That was where we asked that we get some information about this particular case, and we were told, no, it is possible for a teacher who's been in the profession for 30 years to be paid a remuneration that was what amount? 2,000 rand per month, simply because that person may not have kept up to standard with qualification. So, you know, previously it was possible for you to become a teacher without necessary qualifications. Subsequently, what has been put in place is that if you have improved your qualifications, you then get remunerated according to and so clearly in that particular case it was possible for somebody who was in a position. But we also heard that there was an 80% increase last year. And given, of course, that we had this other discussion that says the issue of teacher remuneration is not an isolated issue. It goes down to, and it affects ultimately things like the learner-teacher ratio. It affects the amount of money left over for other things, such as textbooks, such as learning material, such as textbooks. So those things that speak to quality as well get affected by and large. But this issue of salaries, and clearly if you look at the international benchmark where we pay teachers and where other countries pay teachers, we're somewhere in the middle, sort of top middle. So that's another dimension that I think that we don't look at often, to say how are teachers in other countries paid. How do we pay and remunerate our teachers? And so while we're not at the very top, we certainly feature sort of above midway. So those things being considered, the question that I have to ask now is, do we deal with this matter in some detail in the report? And if so, what are people's views on this issue of teachers?
Thank you, Chairperson. The issues are related, like you said. You cannot isolate just salaries because it's a package. And these are to be discussed within the ELRC, informed by the PSCPC, such that as a committee will be way out to discuss this. We can look at it and maybe have our views, but the gist of the matter is that this should be discussed within the ELRC, and that's why it is discussed. And if we go back, way back in 91, because I was lucky to be negotiating then within the ELRC, Norway was the model that was conferred to South Africa, and it was very high. But all the negotiations that took place have placed the us no longer at the bottom, such that it will be, because if you say it from this level, you will be understood as a person who do not understand because you are in parliament. But if we leave it to the relevant structures that, where they debate these things, I want to believe it will be fair. Thank you.
I'm just looking at the submission. This submission is also a response to that with FAS 7. So, in a sense, they link to that particular issue. Anybody else want to? I think Ms. Mishwan has been quite clear about what she thinks our role should be in 5:50.
Don't we then get the ELRC to come and inform the portfolio committee as to exactly how they deal with this problem? Because this is a huge problem. That's the reason why we don't have teachers in our classrooms for a second week. And they are very aggressive about their salaries at the moment. So I think it's something that we should focus on, put more focus on this than just to include it into the report. I think it's so, so important.
What I wanted to suggest is that we do that, but at the moment, of course, they're quite busy. We do that certainly when things are a little bit spring. But what we will do, in line with your request, is we will get a minister to come out and speak to us about their impact.
Chairperson, I don't know when can we have that sort of endeavor, a meeting, a huge meeting, because I believe one day we need to have all these stakeholders in one place so that we can listen on this side of the story. We discuss and negotiate, and at the end we come up with the same understanding rather than having ELRC one day, having the minister on the other day. Yes. I don't know how can you structure that meeting, but I think for us to have a meeting where all the stakeholders, all the role players are there, where we can discuss this topic, I think we can have good fruits at the end of that.
I mean, that is a possibility, and I think, you know, that kind of thing, though, can I just say, my sense tells me, that kind of thing would only work if you're out of a crisis. In other words, that things kind of normalize and so on, that we actually say we are going to have a workshop session and we invite the relevant stakeholders from the unions as well as from the ELRC and government and so on. That we can certainly do and we can certainly program things. And I assume everybody's in agreement as we go that way. So we'll certainly, Mr. Brown, you'll just make note of it, and then when we deal with our program, hopefully, sooner rather than later, we can have that discussion. But it all hinges on quite a few things. So we will have to prepare well in advance people's availability to these issues. And then we may have to even do it at a time when Parliament is not in session and out for specific
thanks. I just want us to be very clear to invite the stakeholders. Specifically, what do we want them to do? What are they? I know the problem is salaries, but how do you ensure that in the meeting there's no confusion? I mean, people know what they're there to, and they don't have to dismiss the meeting as a platform that may not be worth. Because anyway, salaries are dealt with at the bargaining council. Now, our objective with regard to that kind of meeting should be very clear what we want to emerge there with. Because if they tell you that the framework in terms of how you go about salaries is there, and that's how everything has been subjected, let alone that there's a problem at the end of the day. But I'm saying it's clear how things are done. Now, it's either, as we emerge from that meeting, we'll have had an outcome that says, no, there won't be a problem anymore, and this is how a new structure of some kind of a mechanism of how that will be. Or it's either we are going there to the workshop ourselves, those who may not be understanding how at the bargaining council things happen. If we do and there's still a problem, are we sort of to suggest something new? or want them to just provide the info. Out of that forum, ourselves later on may still try and work out another mechanism or something. But I'm trying to problematize this whole thing, so that when we go to the meeting, it's not like we are asked, why do you want this kind of, why do you call us here?
Yeah.
And so, but I know the nature of the problem that we have. Yeah.
No, we are taking
this one
together, but I think it's the second issue that you're raising, which is to say that the whole lot of role players, and we see them in the every time we see them, then we get sort of bogged down by the issues of that particular stakeholder. What is missing and what is lacking is for us as a portfolio committee to develop our own sense of firstly what would be the place that we would want to be when it comes to teacher salary. Internationally, the issue of the budgetary constraints, the issue of teachers and valuable jobs that they do offer our country, and whether in fact they're being remunerated to the level that they deserve. All of these are very, very pertinent issues. But what seems to happen is that we deal with the issue of salary in a very piecemeal basis. So when people raise it, then we suddenly, when we have budget hearings and we hear from the ERC all the good work that they've been doing and all the stakeholders that they try and engage and the programs and so on. And we never ever get to a point where somebody can, almost a symposium, where we have all of the stakeholders in one place and each of them can articulate their views on the very important subject. So that as a portfolio committee, we have a holistic picture, number one, with all of the stakeholders. Number two, out of that is a learning experience for us as well. But out of that, we are able to do oversight, I think, a lot more rigorously. And we can develop our own views as to where it is that we need to go there. Here, we need to go there, or we're here, we need to go there. So I think that's really what people are saying, is that we just tend to deal with it in a very piecemeal. And so what we need is a symposium where people can start articulating their views on where as a country we should be when it comes to teacher salary. And whether in fact, I mean, I don't know if there is synergy between the various stakeholders on the subject. I don't even know whether there's synergy between the teacher union, for example, on the subject. So I think that's really what people are saying. If I'm misrepresenting the freedom, feel free to intercede because the state comes from you. Are you happy with the way I'm articulating? And then when we do the invitation report, we have to be pretty clear about what the intention of the authority is and people will be invited.
Thank you, but very briefly, I want just to reconsider what was said by Honorable McCready, with due respect to the earlier proposal. You see, as Parliament, we know as Parliament that there are departments that are dealing with certain issues. Now, we must not be seen like we are dealing with, we don't have confidence in the same structures that were put in place by government. Because ELRC and PSCDC are given the mandate by the very same parliament. But what you are saying of the symposium makes a lot of sense to me, where people come in like, because if we are seen to be like, we need to be very careful. You don't give responsibilities to us here as a chairperson, and you start doing what I'm supposed to do. It's clear, you are clearly saying I'm not doing my job. Rather, you can call me to a meeting that in case that we need to workshop you because you are not doing things correctly. We need to be, I'm trying to say, yes, we can do it, but we must not be seen to be replacing these practices because they are mandated to deal with those. And it's like you said, the whole package talks of subsidies, talks of, sometimes there's an agreement that people sign, I know, educators sign for 3 years, that this is going to be like this for 3 years. I mean, if it's time, if I agree, 2 years down the line, you like negate You don't negotiate in good faith. That's what I'm trying to say. You come back and say, no, this is not... The agreement was very clear when people signed that for 3 years, this is how we are going to do. And it always says it's going to be informed by the inflation of the country. If we want to argue, right now we are at 4, unless if I'm not well informed, instead of the 7%, we're at, is it 4.5? So that once we have that, the salaries become very comfortable. And if you talk from, if you talk to that from here, we can have the symposium, yes, but we don't. Yeah, let me leave it at that. Thank you.
Now, I think your cautionary note is well taken. That you can't say to people, we're calling you to a symposium, and then interrogate them and say that you don't do your job well. I think that's our oversight function. If we have a problem with it, we call people to a committee, and we say to them, we believe you're doing X, Y, Z when you should have been doing A, B, C. That's a different issue. Symposium is really, as we say, for the different stakeholders to come and give us a briefing as to what has happened over the last year or 2 years, just like we did with the department where we said, look, what is your perspective on teachers' salaries? And then they came and they showed us historically this is what happened. And then last year there was this big increase, and this was the three-year agreement, as you were saying, and now we're suddenly back at the bargaining, you know. So that was the department's perspective. I would like to hear ELRC's perspective. I would like to hear the union's perspective. I would like to hear all of those different stakeholders' perspectives. So that, and even Treasury, even public service, I think we should invite those people because they all have a role to play in regard to this issue. And then, you know, we can have some meaningful discussions around what do we mean when we say teachers are not civil servants, they are professionals. What does that mean in effect? And where should we be going? I know that there was some talk at some stage about excising the teachers from the public service as a whole. Where's that? Is that still on the agenda? We don't know. We have to guess these things. So I think those discussions are quite apt, and I think that it's a way to go. But if people have a rethink about it and they feel differently at some stage, I'm quite happy to reconsider, and we can raise it here and discuss it. But as of now, I think we've taken a decision that we must start proceeding with the preparation for such a symposium, and that we will do it outside of a crisis period when people are happy with each other again, so that the discussions and the debates become meaningful. Right? Okay.
And the unions will also be...
Everybody who is a stakeholder will be invited. As to whether they come, that's a different story, but everybody will be invited. And it's not calling them to a parliamentary committee in the sense that we're going to force them to come. I mean, we do have the power to do that. But that's not the point of this. As Mrs. Mushwana said, that is our oversight work. If we think somebody's not doing their jobs properly, we can call them to the committee. But this is really in the spirit of engagement and trying to understand the various views that pertain on the subject. Okay. And I think we'll think a little bit more about what Mr. Makubela is also saying, is that we need to be very clear about what we hope to achieve. And so I think people must apply their minds, and we'll have more of a discussion. In fact, what I'm going to suggest at some stage is that we have a planning subcommittee so that members themselves can start organizing and, you know, setting out terms of reference and planning agendas and stuff like that, okay? So if you're that way inclined, you can volunteer your name to Mr. Brown, but we'll have a formal discussion on this some other time. Okay. Can we proceed back to the submissions? Now I've completely lost my place. Okay, so that's what we'll do on the teacher salary issue. That's a useful discussion. So I'll call it a salary symposium for ease of reference. And then you will all know what I'm talking about. Okay. All right. Where are we, Mr. Sandy? 24. Okay.
Submission 24 and 25, we need to refer to the agenda. Resolution 24 offers suggestions relating to computer centers, languages, and school hours. It says many schools are not sure what to teach in computer centers. Sorry, computer
centers, yeah.
Learners should be able to change languages after once they've proved that in grade 4 they are able to read and write. We have addressed this one, they don't have languages. The recommendation, computer centers should be equipped with correct curriculum. Learners should be taught in their own language. From grade 4, learners should have a third language up to grade 7. Schooling should not be allowed. It is a waste of money and time. The probably constitutional regulating it. School hours must be from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And the next point is again on language.
It's always useful to find out who this person is. Is this a teacher or does it future kids? Doesn't say. A future teacher. It says future kids. It's a concessi hour and the year for future kids in tutorial. So it's like. Oh, I see, okay. Okay, so that's clearly the issue of computers for me is an issue, and that that schools are not quite sure what to teach during computer lessons. I think is an issue that we need to raise. I think what we need to also do, Mr. Bundy, is to just check whether there is any curriculum for computer studies. I think it's called that, computer studies. Computer studies. Okay. Computer
study. Yes. Okay. This is obviously this odd comment here about different languages and different uniforms, but that aside, the school hours, the concept of longer school hours, and whether in fact that has been proven to assist with children off the streets and not so much boredom and not so much whatever, and just maybe we should look into that. It is something that in the more disadvantaged communities, I've heard quite a lot from school teachers and people talking about having a formal extra kind of curriculum for certain hours. And it does appear to be something that people are thinking about. But do we know anything about, has it been tried elsewhere, does it work, what are the pros and cons? Maybe we could do something around it.
Anybody else?
I was on the point where they say many schools are not sure what to teach in computer centers, like the computer studies is where they. I'm a little bit puzzled because computer studies is one of the subjects that are there in schools that have got the curriculum like all other subjects. So maybe it's because I haven't gone through the submission and started to say what is it that is not clear what to teach, because really it's one of the subjects that is there. So I'm a little bit confused if it's just pinpoint one subject and to say they're not sure, or it's just an outcry they're saying some of the obvious times are not sure of what we're doing, I'm not sure. Yes.
Well, I imagine that if this person is in the business of have lots of kids coming from schools and so on, that they find that they probably relax rather than what they're saying is that people don't know. Ms. Moshana?
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to speak to the issue of the hours. the time frame. There was a debate within the ELRC which informed the present status, because educators wanted to be viewed as workers. You couldn't be viewed as workers if you work less than 35 hours per week, hence the 7 hours. That's where it started. Such that it's the starting point and the ending point will always differ according to provinces, because when it's hot, when it's winter, like it's in South Africa, yes, I know, but there are places where it's hotter than other places, and they can afford to go to start their school as long as they complete those hours. So that it's not easy to dictate for all schools, as long as they observe it. If they can start at 6 o'clock, but they have their service, fine. So that I think the proposal is like way out. People have the right, constitutional right, as long as they don't mishandle or destabilize the policy. So that, yes, we understand what this is said, but you can't say start at this time. And like the issue of uniform also, you can come with some colors, because people choose colors for their school, you know. Schools these days have colors. You find that their uniform is matching with the paint. I'm not joking. Maybe it's where I come from. And the bag, so that when you go to that school, you know that these are their colors. No, you cannot come here and prescribe to people what they should be. So that it's a proposal. Yes, people have a right to say what they like in this democracy of ours, but it must not be misused. Thank you.
The example given here about uniforms, to me it's a bit confusing, because it's like one would be limited to African schools and English schools. How would we look at other schools? Because personally I would say this is an English school if the learners come from a home where they speak English or Afrikaans the same. Now, what about us? Because we'll be coming from a different environment. I'm just looking at this. Maybe it's because it's an example, but it confuses me. Yeah. So I want to support here that I think the issue of uniform is out. I think.
Can I suggest something as a way forward, right? What I want is for you guys to look at the submission and pick out the one thing that you want to discuss as a proposal. In other words, if there are things that you disagree with, just ignore it. Okay? So if you raise something as a subject for discussion, then we will put it in the report, in other words. Okay? So for the rest, if you disagree with something, don't pick it up. So can I ask you, apart from us just checking this issue that Ms. Gina's raised, that computers is a subject, it should have a curriculum attached to it, right? Apart from us just checking with Mr. Bundy, is going to check that. If that is not the case, then we'll have to discuss this matter. But apart from that, is there anything in this submission that people want to discuss and put in the report? Mrs. Moshwana.
Thank you, Chairperson. This thing of the school fees. My
school fees?
Yeah. Always are you full the parents. You see there's 520, but the 430. Like talking of school fees. And if I don't understand this, maybe it's good that this came to the portfolio committee. Because I know that with concern that X model C schools are late, although they are public, the fees are paid the 400, 500, up to 720 a month are being paid, and the schools are so rich. Like, I don't know whether we can say the schools are rich or the principals is like business to some of them. So, but I think it's a portfolio quality. We need to debate the issue of school fees in a public school, whether it's X model C. I think that's a very serious thing to debate, because you remain public.
Your mic.
Oh, awesome.
now speak of your phone?
No, it's not mine.
That's where
you want to be.
Sorry. Remind me of the factory of Tatu. His phone rang while you were talking, so he said, order, order, and put it down. I'm sorry. So it's helpful that we talk of, I don't know how we can do it, but as a committee, we need to talk this issue. It's very serious.
The issue of schools.
The public schools that are Model C, to me, are not public. They are very much private. Thank you.
This paragraph refers to external... Sorry.
Yeah, she's helping. You see, Africans is not my mother tongue.
This extra paragraph refers to an extra amount being paid by the Queen's Standard Bank and taking the children in the afternoon. It's only an extra.
So it's not fees. So there's no fees being raised in this submission. Can you leave that issue for when fees are raised? Okay. Ms. Dudley?
Just to say that me suggesting that we take that whole school hour thing further. It's not about how many hours the teachers feel that they're at school when they're working. It's about how many hours that the students...
The kids are not on the street.
...are occupied with creative and other kinds
of... Well, can I just say to you, I come from a community where kids go to school in the morning, and in the afternoons they go to madrasa. So you're going to find that, you know, the kids in the afternoons who are doing music lessons, the kids who are doing hockey, the kids who are doing... So I think a lot of schools do that kind of thing. But equally, there are just as many schools that don't.
And the kids are still
and those are the kids, yeah, those are the kids clearly where this is coming from, where there are no activities in schools in the afternoons. But equally, I think that the issue that Ms. Mushwana raises is not irrelevant, because if you're going to say extend school hours, then you're going to have to say who's supervising those kids during that time, and that will fall on the teachers. So it's not an unrelated issue, ultimately. I had Mr. Makubela.
Two things.
On this subject.
Yeah, one relates to the hours thing. I'm even tempted to think that instead of specific salaries, we may emphasize salaries, but perhaps the symposium may need to look at the conditions of teachers.
Okay.
You know, salaries included, so that they come with almost everything else. And I'm saying we may emphasize salaries because that's the main thing we want to try and handle, because it's the one that keeps coming and giving. But conditions will literally take those that are key to them being in the environment where they teach and so on. But in terms of the hours, to me, it also relates to the actual the potential of kids to can concentrate. You don't just say these are the hours and so on. You look at what is humanly possible for them to consume in a particular period. Hence, the other will have to be extramural activities wherein they don't necessarily involve the mind. But that's to the extent that I wanted to just engage that one. But I think it will come in the second as I'm saying. The second issue is some of the issues we're raising in the committee. Remember when Mr. Bandi was going through some of them, even related to the homeschooling should not be allowed and so on and so on, and he said there's a constitutional imperative regulating or guiding that. It was going to be so useful, and I'm not saying those that relate to the consumer must not touch, but it's useful to know that this one you can't handle anymore because already the country has arrived at this level. There's been development up to this one. So we can't ourselves behave as if there are no sort of stipulations that guide that. For instance, if you want to talk about let's say the issues of language, issues of uniform, some of them the powers were given to the SGB. If parents will sit and say, in this school, this is what happens to fees, this is what happens to language, this is what happens to what. So if you want to emerge with something from this level when already the country has moved and provided certain benefits to certain. It's like you're reversing somehow. You come and reverse the gains, sort of, that have been achieved already. So it was going to be useful, and I understand the pressure that the band and them had, even in terms of things. They may not be able to say, on this point, it's against, or it contradicts the Constitution, it contradicts South African Schools Act, it contradicts, they might not be able to do that. But it's useful for us to be quick to know that on this point, it's not worth engaging it that much.
Are you going to be raising this issue now to discuss it? This issue of homeschooling, are you raising it? Yeah, and also I'm just giving an example to say, okay, some of the issues, it's not easy for us to engage them because already the constitution says something else, and if as a committee want to engage that matter in a manner that may ultimately lead to the amendment of the constitution or something, which may not be an easy thing, I'm just saying.
If a person says homeschooling should not be allowed, when in fact people are allowed currently legally to can do that, it's not worth engaging, you know. And there are many points that
we can put.
I was giving an example.
But this is what I'm saying. If there are issues that you want to agree with, that you want to appear in the report with, like Ms. Dudley is saying, she agrees that they should be extended hours. So then we can discuss it. But if there are things that you're saying people are raising, but it's unconstitutional, all of those things, then don't raise it. Then we don't discuss it. We'll only discuss it if you raise it from the floor.
I'm sure raising them with regard to the committee. But even ourselves as a committee at some point, we're raising issues that already may not need discussion because they may be against, say, the constitution. And I was just giving that example. But I was saying, it was not easy for the secretariat to assist us in that regard, to think as a committee, this and that you may not discuss because already there are provided for.
That's not what I asked you to do. I said just summarize what is there.
Yeah.
And for the committee to decide what we want to pick up and discuss, not for the researchers, you know what I mean?
So
on this issue of the extended school hours, you said you had three other things.
No, I was just raising two things to say. The first is with regard to the hours. It's not an easy thing to sit here and say the hours will be like this because it's not just keeping children occupied necessarily in terms of school. It's also what they can be able to do themselves as children. And they must be allowed to play. Although you can incorporate that, it's one of the rights, by the way, that children should be able to play. You can incorporate that within school hours, but it's a whole range of issues, health-wise, and so on and so on, which we have to consider. That's what I was interested in. But the second, I was just saying we must be careful ourselves here in terms of raising things that may be against the constitution already, even if we are not guided yet to say this is against the constitution. But people out there, some of them may be ignorant about the constitution. They might not have regarded it, but it mustn't be for the committee to go on discussing something that may be against or is provided for in the constitution.
But are you saying school hours, extended school hours is unconstitutional?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I then just say, look, you've spoken on this issue of the school hours, Ms. Mushwana. Can I just say that, is there anybody else who feels strongly about extending school hours in the way that this presentation is suggesting, apart from Ms. Dudley?
Yeah, I've got something
wrong. No, but are you in favor of it? If you're speaking in favor of it, I'm going to let you speak. But if you're not in favor of it, I'm not going to let you speak. So is there somebody who is supporting Ms. Dudley in this submission on this issue? Okay? So you don't have too much of support with regard to this one. So we leave it until if it's raised again. Okay, sure.
Actually, this submission has got some funny aspects to it. So I'm not thinking that it's the perfect document for us to base our discussions on, but there's a lot of research out there. I don't know if you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Overnight, and he draws on some studies and research that were done where the difference between the bright kids and the not-so-bright kids in a class had nothing to do with actually what they were learning in class. It was about what they were doing in terms of homework and what they were doing in the holidays. In terms of accessing after some learning and whatever, and those, that dictates the huge difference in the results. So the kids were actually, their intellect was actually the same if it wasn't for what they were doing in these other hours. So my feeling is that it's not about his little suggestion particularly, but it just does touch on something that maybe we're missing. And, you know, a lot of, to do homework in certain communities is next to impossible. To do homework in certain homes, it's fine. And that is what is giving people either the opportunity to go forward or to not. And maybe we need to consider formalizing homework time at the school or something. Those kind of, so those are the sort of things I'm thinking that, but it's not about what I'm thinking. It's about, it appears that there are studies of research that's been done around these things that show some interesting facts. If we
could
access that and somehow
benefit from that. Look, I take your point. Can we say that as far as this submission is concerned, this particular proposal is not something that we would support in the committee? Okay? If you look, in any case, as to how she structured this after-hours thing, you've got like literally 1 hour for homework. I don't know anybody who finishes their homework in a meaningful way in 1 hour. Given the kind of homework that you get, you know, kids get these days and so on. So, but look, on this other issue of saying, and I know because I know that when I attended meetings on the Cape Flats with regard to the issue of kids being on the street and not being able to do homework because their homes are just not conducive to sitting down and doing homework in the afternoon, that there are community kind of initiatives where churches, for example, open their doors in the afternoon and supervise these kids so that they have place to do homework. Now, I think that's perfectly fine, and I think that what you're raising is that kind of concern, to say that there are kids who are going home in the afternoon and there is no desk, there is no place for them to go and sit down and do their work in a meaningful way. And if that is the case, then clearly there needs to be initiative. The question is, do we formalize it and say that it must be in the schools? I think that there is some argument, personally, to say that in most public schools, there should be an opportunity for kids to stay longer and to do homework. However, I don't know that every teacher would be, you know, over the moon wanting to sit down and supervise. But given that they're principals, given that you could do a rotation and so on, that should be something that most schools should consider. But I do think that it's an issue for a longer debate. And one of the things that we would need to do is to actually look at the implications of that in terms of paying overtime and all of that stuff that would also factor into some circumstances. So I think that is a debate that we need to have separately. And I want to suggest, Ms. Dudley, that maybe what you do is do us like a 2 or 3 pager, not just motivating, but also looking at the research that you've done. I think it would be very useful for us to read that stuff. And if you know what is happening in other similar countries, for example, that such initiatives happen in schools, that would also be a very good
indication.
I think it's your proposal, so I think you need to give us a little bit of a motivation.
Unfortunately, I'd love to.
Okay.
But there's no way that I can do justice to this kind of research.
And I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm not saying you should do, you know, huge. I'm saying 2-3 pages, that's what it is. Because I do think that there is some basis on which we can continue the discussion outside of this report, okay, on this subject. And it may very well find relevance in some of the legislative amendments that we're making and so on. So you'll see that it will come up over and over again, particularly from those communities where you have very concerned principals, very concerned SGP people who are saying, look, our kids can't go and do homework because either there's gangsterism, either, you know, they don't feel safe, there's nobody at home supervising, whatever. So that becomes an issue. And I think that even if you don't give us research, a motivation, a 2-3 page motivation, we'll put it for discussion, and we may even call for hearings on the subject. Okay? But those initiatives exist in many schools as well. I know that they have lots of aftercare facilities where kids can do their homeworks in the school. But again, these are extra fee-paying schools and they afford all of these things, okay? All right. Can we move on to the next submission? Also, you'll find it on Addendum 1. Mr. Bade?
Submission 25 calls for support from the Department of Education when problems arise. The next point, teacher education programs should be arranged, or rather, teacher development programs arranged by subject advisors are often canceled due to funding problems. Technology at high school is a huge challenge. And then the recommendation, educators need to be recognized and trusted. Dismissed educators who are absent continuously. It also decreases the workload of the workload of teachers. Funding is a challenge for learners doing consumer studies. The submission requires that learners receive a yearly allowance from the party.
Okay. And this person is a teacher. Am I right? Okay. I want, now remember what I said. I don't want you to speak in disagreement with something. I want you to raise the things here that you agree with and that you think we should pursue in the report. Okay? I think the one issue that is being taken care of is the issue of the workload of teachers with the review of the aspects of the curriculum that was announced. Can I just find out, I'm not quite sure, Mr. Bundy, what is the, when we say hospital, I know that technology has been raised as a frustration in other submissions, so we're going to get that continuously. But particularly, what is the problem with technology as far as this individual is concerned? Can somebody who reads Afrikaans, Mr. Haniyahu?
What for me?
Yes, a free Afrikaans, Afrikaner, should I say. Can you just read this part, this technology in the high schools is a groot frustrasie. That paragraph there, can you just look at it and just tell us what exactly is the essence of this submission? Because I know that many submissions that we come across have raised this issue of technology being a problem. But I just want to hone in on what exactly is this particular person saying about technology and what is the problem with technology? I'm very happy, but Mr. Haniyahu is still waiting for you.
He's asking me.
What did I ask you?
Next time, I don't think the two of you must sit next to each other, really.
I didn't understand the
instruction. Just tell me in a nutshell, what is the problem with technology? I understand Afrikaans, but I'm not understanding what precisely is the issue that the person is raising.
I have not finished.
Can you please not interrupt, Mr. Moshana? You're a big distraction for him.
Obviously, the hospitality and consumer studies, they're talking about skilled schools. So we covered that, we already got that on.
Where we're going to make some recommendations on the issue of skills in schools.
Can I ask you a big favor? Can you keep this? I might lose it. Can you bring it to me tomorrow morning in my office? I'll be there from about 8:30. Please. Ms. Gina?
Can I come with another point raised?
Another point that you want to raise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, now, Mr. Kanyako, are you ready?
Not quite, but I'm looking at the last sentence here in that paragraph.
No, but that's Castrate. I don't want to know about Castrate studies. I want to know about technology. What is the problem that they're raising with technology? Ms. Gina can speak in the meantime.
Yeah.
From that submission, I do have another area where it needs discussion. The whole question of discipline in schools. I think that is a point that you need to say something or to discuss further, because really, when we look at what is happening at schools, maybe from taking away corporal punishment that we knew was the way of disciplining at schools, of which we are very much happy about, but we need to have something that is in place. We need to, teachers need to be guided, even learners themselves. It's quite an era that is not well attended to, and that is why so much discipline is lacked in school. I know there are documents, there are things that have been done, alternatives to corporal punishment, but I don't think they've given necessary attention that it needs to be given, and discipline is quite a worrying factor in our schools.
Tell me, where is this being raised?
It's raised in bus 8-25.
Yeah, but where?
And not all attempts to disciplinary hearings and others. Then the input by the first.
That pertains to teachers.
Oh, I'm not sure whether it's talking only of teachers or the whole discipline at school, learners and teachers.
If you look at the recommendations next door, it says that educators who are acting continuously must be disciplined. So this is not to do with
issue of teacher discipline. I think it comes up in a number of the submissions, and it's something that we should look at, and teacher absenteeism too. I don't have figures for the whole country, but those that I've seen for at least one of the provinces is very high. Not here. In fact, I might have them on my computer. Let me have a look.
That it's non-negotiable, and we have continuous teacher absenteeism, that this is a problem that the department must take seriously, and that we can't continue
train people who are just not delivering. And if you've got the stats and so on, that would be very good. And maybe one of the things that we need to do is to get that across the front. See if it is an endemic problem or whether it's just a problem in one or two problems. And Mr.
The frustration and share on this matter, which may not come easy, whichever way we want to handle it, is that it's within the labor relations act. And laborers or teachers or workers have got some way of going about it. And it's not easy to win. It may drag and be legal things for a long time, and ultimately you reinstate the teacher system. But I think there are ways in which this matter is being handled. So it's not easy to come and say you have been absent for 2 days, therefore dismissed. But I think there could be ways in which the department, which I'm simplifying it in a manner that I know we're not talking about that. But I'm saying, not that principals don't want to dismiss those who are not disciplined, who are not responsible, and so they do want to. Many principals, I think, are responsible, are themselves.
Yeah.
Just because it's closer. No, Chair, fine. Chair, I'm saying, I know responsible principals want to run and lead their schools well, but they're frustrated by this, and they can't even dismiss them. Not because they are fearing the union or what. In terms of labor, they just cannot handle it. And the department knows, and principals went to the department, complained, and so on and so on. So it may mean that if really want to deal with it and we are serious about it, have certain things for change in the labor relations sector. It's just like knowing that if I'm not here in the PC meetings for 2 days, I'll be charged. And every time it's 2 times, the other one I'm charged 2 times, the other one, you know, that kind of a thing. And you find you may not, and if it goes legal and so on, you can't win and all, and you are frustrated with that kind of thing. So if you want to go deeper into it, it's not just about saying dismiss them. Where the other thing, it must be that what does the law say? What does it provide for this principal?
Mr. Hanyaka and Ms. Mishona, I just say Mr. Skeptic and all of that. Just relax. Relax. Let's listen to what is being said here, because I want you to participate here as well.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm saying it's not really a new matter. We may not want to discuss it as if totally it's a new matter, not known, and so on. It's a frustration, it's a challenge that is there. So if we want to handle it and we are serious, like we want to say, let's start highlighting it and making sure that it's going to deal with it, it will definitely take us to the labor relations. Yes. So that's the preparedness that we should have to say, currently provide for this, that this is where the frustration is. And how do we go about it? Because it's not just about schools. Yes, there could be one, two, or representative of principals who know the facts and are not acting. Either because this teacher is a steward member, it's a union member, and always away. You know, those are some of the things. But there are those who naturally, they're just like that. It's in their nature not to be coming, and so they can be dismissed. But somewhat, they've got a way of beating the law. And that's what I'm saying, we should be able to look at.
Look, I'm not blinded by the notion that you raise, which is the issue of the regulations, and I do know that dismissing civil servants just becomes a nightmare. And it's not just in education, it's everywhere. It takes up to 3 to 4 years before the plenary matters come to finality. But that's the bullet that will bite if we come to the conclusion that there is a inclusion problem. We are not at that stage. Right? So what I wanted to say is Mr. Lottimer's got some figures on future absenteeism. The issue is twofold. The
of administration. In other words, if a student doesn't even know that it has a problem with teachers and to have to deal with, that in and of itself is a problem. So that's your first point of departure. The second point of departure is, if as the employer you do not make it an issue, and that you constantly say, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it because the Labor Relations Act is X, Y, Z, it's going to become a non-issue. And then there's nobody enforcing attendance. So that's the issue that I want to respond to, which is to say, and it's not to say those things about if somebody's absent for good reason, you're entitled in terms of your employment 2 weeks per annum or whatever, sick leave, all of those things are a given, okay? We're all human beings, we all have problems, we all sometimes have to stay at home. Except for Mr. Blackie Swanson, as I told you about, he's only after 2 days in all of his 25 years of service in the Justice Department, and now he's going to sue his doctor because his doctor is home for 2 days. But the rest of us are human, and there are instances where we simply, you know, there may be a year that's just a bad year for you, and you end up being away for 2 months. That happens in life. But we are not talking about those instances. We're talking about those instances where teachers continuously and without any kind of reason remain absent. And that's an issue of discipline as well. And that is the case that we found carefully. I mean, we were in PE when I was in the justice portfolio, and we went to a police station, and we found that on average, 15 days in every 3 months, regularly, each of the policemen would take off. And you could count 15 days. And the way they got away with it was that they had the doctor who would book them off. For stress, you know, and that's a wonderful diagnosis to have when you're a policeman. And if you were to go to the records, you'd see that it's a constant thing that's constant, and it's always the same doctor looking them off. Those then become the problems, and they only found it when we asked for the records, when we saw the amount of backlog they had in front of the records. And then even the commanders were blind to it, because the problem just manifested itself in a kind of a legalistic way. There was a sick note, and there were these issues. So it's not an easy issue to deal with at all, okay? But, as I say, unless somebody is looking at an important issue, nobody's going to treat it like an important issue. So I do think that it is something that we need to engage with, and maybe Mr. Lyman can give us some of those steps at some stage, and we can have a substantial discussion on it.
Not linked to the salary issue in some way, the similar stakeholders, and maybe that symposium could stretch, like you said, beyond to communities and to
sign in the morning and sign out or off or whatever. Because you've got
a very interesting question. Because you see, that's what I'm talking about when I say administration.
Yeah.
Because if you recall, there was a teacher strike, remember, 2 years ago?
2007, yes.
And during that time, government had said there will be no pay for no one, okay? Which is perfectly legal. So teachers went on strike, and government said, we will not pay you for the days that you are not reporting to you. Question. Did teachers get paid?
basis on which they could say that somebody was absent or present. That's the problem. And the first issue. Because if you don't have those systems in place, how on earth are you going to know whether somebody is here or not here?
Or they arrive at school, they sign the register, and then they leave at 10 o'clock. They're not absent, but they leave.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to say, yes, teachers sign in all schools unless it's in Limpopo. When you come to school, there is a register.
Unless it's in
Limpopo. Unless if it's only in Limpopo.
Oh,
because I mean, speak and say all schools, and people have
yeah.
become so surprised.
Yeah.
Well, I know for a fact that when educators go to school, they sign in and they sign out, and the registers are there. The issue that caused the predicament was that if you say no work, no pay for all, and I'm on appointment leave for 4 months, and I don't get paid, I couldn't have gone to school anyway.
Yes.
Like that.
You're not on strike.
Exactly.
Yes.
You are not on strike unless if raising your baby is also another strike. So it's like that they had tangible reason to say there were people who were only sold. But if you say overall, you need to go to the register. Because the registers are there. They're there in school.
So what was the problem then? I don't understand. If you know somebody's on leave, surely there's an administration around that leave because the salary still has to be paid every month and somebody must come in your place. For your class,
whatever your school knows about it, your
problem
is concerned,
right? So, what was the problem? When you're saying that this issue arose because
there were people who were on leave? Because nationally, Chairperson, it was like no work, no pay for everybody. Therefore, salary was electronically deducted from everyone, even those who were supposed to be. I mean, you can't go to school if you're on leave, that's the thing. So that was the challenge. I was trying to respond to what you're saying.
I understand what you're not saying. Mm. But you see, that's not my understanding of where the challenge was. Maybe there were these problems about people who weren't leaving on the day after they leave that table. But I'm saying to you that there were some provinces, is my understanding, some provinces where nobody got anything reacted because there was no way of telling whether the person was in school or whether they were on the track. Now, yours, obviously, you were a good principal and you have a good doctor. So there was no problem there. But there were provinces where that could not be told. You couldn't say if Fonny Mashwana was out striking or whether she was in school.
Okay.
That
yeah.
was the problem. I've got Mashishi and then I've got Mashina, then I've got
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to respond on the term register. Honorable Mushwana have responded on that. So the other clarity that I wanted on this one of the dismissal of educators, my worry is on the absent continuously. Maybe as a portfolio committee, are we able maybe to come up with days, maybe we said how many days. That's what I wanted to know.
How many days?
Maybe we come up with the days that we said up to this time. If you are absent from school, that's where maybe they should consider this thing of dismissal.
No, I don't think they want to go into 7 days. What we're trying to establish, we still at the first thing, and we said, is there a problem? If there is a widespread problem, then clearly it becomes a matter where nationally we have to take some steps. But the issue is, still at the first place, do provinces even know that they have a problem, is the question you're asking. Are they in a position, if for example, and this is why we have a strike thing stands up now, if they can't tell who is on strike and who is at school, how on earth do they get information about who is constantly at school and who is not constantly at school? That's where we are at. So what we're doing now is we're saying that in preparation for this symposium, because that becomes part of the
holistic band of issues that you want to raise at that symposium, should we then not, as a portfolio committee, embark on this research and understand the system as it pertains through the whole country, not just in one province or another province, but that there are provinces, and this is my contention, there are provinces who don't even know whether there are people coming to school every day or not. And that must be the first. So as an oversight exercise, we need to know that the employer body knows what is happening in school up front. Then we go to the second one, which is what Mr. Lorimer managed to get in one of those provinces which does keep records, right? And is able to get the absentee statistics in that particular province. We're gonna try with the researchers and so on to get absentee statistics in those provinces where we can do so. But as I say, there is that larger problem. Now, it's up to us to raise it as an issue, I think, so that we get to the point. Remember, as national, we're setting standards. Surely the provinces all need to maintain those kinds of standards as well, as Mr. Shawn is saying. Every morning, you come in, you clock in. Every morning, every afternoon when you leave, or if you leave in the middle of the day, you're expected to sign out. Now, that one would expect from any well-run organization, regardless of whether it's teachers, doctors, whatever. That's how the system works. Otherwise, the system can't work. Because you don't have a then your principal, doesn't know what is happening in his or her school. That means your district doesn't know. And certainly it means your province doesn't. And that's where you get the phenomenon of things like ghost workers and all of these things. Remember when we inherited all of these things, when we changed over in 1994. You know what's happening. You know the amount of ghost workers there were in certain provinces. That's the reason for it. Because there's no system. The minute you have these systems, all of those administrative problems disappear. And then you're able to understand, and you're able to look deep into your organization to understand what is happening. Then you won't say that our kids are failing because of a lack of a chalkboard. You'll say our kids are failing because they don't have a teacher in the class present doing the teaching. Then you know what is happening in your school. If you don't have that system, there's no way as a manager twice removed. Remember, that's what provinces are. So you've got your principal there, who's the manager. Then you've got your district or your regional office, whatever. And then you've got problems. So you're twice removed. How do you know what is happening in each of your schools? You can't know. So that's the issue that is being raised here on this matter. And that's what I'm saying is also going to be shifted to the symposium, but with some more research and empirical data being found from two sources. Okay? Okay.
I think in your summary, you have covered me well, because I was going to talk of a system and say these things are there, but are other systems that cannot be collected on the provinces. Referring to what you have been saying, there are provinces after the 2007 strike that were not detected on. It's because of the systems, exactly. From the school towards all these levels that are there, they don't talk to each other in such a way that there's so much information that gets distorted. And another point then that was much of a problem was that even the principals are union members themselves. They have to go out to strike, you know, and who is left at school to collect them? Because there is no one, because the officials are very limited, the number is very small. So it's quite a problem. So that is why I was saying the systems are quite a problem within this department. That's what I was going to say.
Almost related, during strikes, it's usually not a normal situation. At times, you've got people who want to come to working environment. If there's intimidation, violent kind of things, they may not be able to come, but you may not find them in the strike action. So there are somewhere in between. And if the principal says it's not safe for anyone to come to school, they can't be recalled. So, but they were not striking, but they are in. The experience that the health department now has, for example, is that if there's a strike and even nurses want to strike, regardless of whether they're an official one, they create accommodation inside the hospital. So if you want, you don't want to strike, you are able to come in or stay in there, you can do whatever, and you are recorded as being in. And you won't be like those who are outside. And so. But I'm just saying, it's one thing to look at the systems during strike, but people can explain themselves. But it's another when it's normal, and people are not coming. But they know that the end that is supposed to deal with them is not capable of doing that. So it's like usual thing to be late or not to be there. You know, that kind of thing. It's not taken serious. But it's normal. No, nobody can say, I couldn't come to work because I thought my life was in danger. It's not even about that. It's only that people don't take their kind of work very seriously to say, by the way, we are contracted, this is what we should do, and we are professionals, we must do the following. So I think I'm just looking at it that way to say, yes, there may be difficulties around the price, but there are also problems even when there is no strike, and which we must be able to deal with, as we're saying, look at our systems and ensure the strike thing, it will be something else we can deal with as and when we arrive at those kind of situations.
I was just raising the issue, that there are no
there would be no. Okay? This problem is that it exists in the first place.
heading, which says technology is a big frustration. That's what I was trying to say when everybody came in to assist or to tell me to keep quiet. Because they're saying it becomes a big frustration. There's no excuse. And forgive me for trying to assist.
No, 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 no. I'm not so sorry about that. I'm just trying to, you see, my question is very specific to Mr. Kanya.
Oh.
I left this thing and I understand Africa generally speaking. But I didn't understand this thing here about Nokta and Asa and Rasa and Snalek Paroya. And I thought maybe I was missing something about the content of technology that I was not understanding. And that's why I asked him as the Afrikaans expert to tell me, is there something I'm missing there that this individual is raising about trying to teach technology that is a problem? But all of you saying is that our people are just not interested in that. They are there for customers.
Religious policy guidelines or something, or religion policy guide or whatever that came out with K. the Osmond area. So that particular document was highly contested at the time, and it seems to me to have died down, and a lot of those issues maybe are not such issues. But it may be however many years have gone down the road, maybe we've gone 5 or 6 years since then. And maybe a review of that document at some point to see if those concerns at the time were valid, if other things, you know, whatever. But I'm just thinking it was that particular policy document that I think caused a huge stir. I know caused a huge stir. And I'm just thinking that that was quite possibly what people have in their minds in terms of, are we on track there?
I think we're talking about two separate documents. The one that I'm referring to is the one that's called Values in Education, which speaks to the kind of issues that we spoke to when we dealt with this topic, which is the kind of universal values that transcend religions, that transcend even the idea of religion. In other words, that you can actually be atheist or agnostic or whatever and still have that. I'm not sure if that's the one that you're speaking to.
No.
If you...
That would be one aspect to do with the value. So I think the other one was clearly a religion policy, religion in school policy on policy guidelines on religion in school or something. And so that might be the other aspect that people.
What was the controversy?
It would seem to be something that would dictate to people whether they could be at a school and still acknowledge what they would think would be normal customs around their religions and whatever. And it was received as something that was kicking religion out of school.
But, I mean, we had this discussion, I don't know if you would hear when you had this discussion. Okay, then I suggest we don't pervert it, because unless there's some specific that you want to.
I just thought that document hasn't been reviewed, and it may have, after a certain period of years, maybe of public
interest. Let me just summarize and say to you that in our discussions, we basically identified the fact have a constitution. The constitution guarantees freedom of religion, inter alia. Also guarantees that all kids have an education. So when you talk to religion in schools, what we have evolved from is a systematic kind of monotheistic religious-based education, based very much on Christian doctrine, to a system where there is a far more liberal and far more acceptable.
I may fully agree with but I'm just saying what I'm perceiving that people's issues are, they're saying that because there's been this move away, things have gotten worse. So I'm sort of saying if there are certain documents that could become public, that we may want to involve the public in again. Personally, I'm actually thinking let's see things don't lie, quite frankly, because it was usually contentious and controversial at the time.
This is the problem. You were not at the discussion. I'm trying to summarize what the discussion was about. And basically what they're saying is that religion is not excluded in our schools in the sense that we have now got something called religious studies.
Yeah, I've kept up quite well with all of this.
So it's wrong to say that religion is excluded, number one. Number two, there are schools that are religious schools. They don't happen to be public schools, but they are allowed.
See, I know that's what they're comparing me. But I'm saying the public...
But I'm saying this is a discussion we have had in this committee and it's going to be part of the report. You were just not here at the time.
Okay, so that's actually part of the report.
All of those things that you are now raising, we've discussed.
Okay.
We're saying that despite the fact that there may be schools that do not, that are far more secular in the public realm, despite that, there are values that are attached very much to things like life orientation and that teachers have to acquire those skills if they were to follow the correct syllabus and the correct content of life orientation. So, in other words, there's a far more comprehensive way in which values are incorporated in the schooling system than what previously was. That's basically the summary of the discussion that we had in the committee on this topic. Now, if you want more detail, you can ask Mr. Bundy to give you some of the drafts that we would have done on the discussion that we had. And if you want to add something more to it, then, that would be the place.
All right. If I can just clear, because my understanding is exactly that, as you said, you have discussed it. That when, with the next submission to do with life skills, so that value links directly with that, and that's great. And you've had that discussion. I was just bringing up an additional little reminder to us that when people talk about religion, whatever it is they think they're meaning, there was this other document that was called a guideline to religious policy in schools. And that had been contentious at the time. So all I was saying is, that may well be the other part of what people are talking about, and it may well be worth looking at: is it a public interest to have to review that document? It's just a suggestion.
If you want to pursue this, you're welcome to do so, but that you'll need to be a little more specific about it. And I suggest that you look at the discussion first to see whether in fact there's a need to do so. And then you can point out to us exactly
what you mean. Because I'm not quite sure what happens to you. Okay. So, can we go to then Best Education 28?
Am I right
at
28?
Okay. Best Education 28. It indicates that the author has developed has written a book on a new mental model for a life skills curriculum. It falls in the category of the innovations that should be showcased in the department.
Okay. I must say this was the one petition that I didn't quite understand myself. Did anybody understand? It was a long story about lots of things that I didn't understand.
But it's
clearly,
kind of
I must develop
in a way. Because this guy is the father of one of the water seat pool. So I really doubt whether he can teach other children after. I'm surprised by what's written here. But the idea of showcasing these things has been covered.
I'm just saying, I don't understand anything. Thank you. Next,
that's Education 29. It proposes that teachers will be used to present subjects and that quality teachers should present such subjects via TV.
I'm not saying that. I must say that I was out in Istanbul about 2 years ago, and there you can literally do a university undergraduate degree by watching TV. So you come out of school at a particular, you just get your guidebooks, like a UNICEF guidebook thingy, and you can sit at home, watch a dedicated channel, and take your lectures. And they have one of the most young workforce in that entire region, including Europe. And that's one of the reasons why Europe needs them to come into the what do people think? I mean, I think it's a damn good idea.
It's really simply the telematic education. Look, I can see being very useful when you don't have the relevant teachers, but I have had teachers come to me and say they think it's a shocking idea because it creates lazy teachers, teachers who just feel invincible on TV or whatever. So there are obviously people out there who have different ideas around it. If that was the one presentation I saw, I think he also used unfortunate, for example, he used an Afrikaans speaking girl to give, but maybe it was a different one than I saw. To teach English, and that doesn't come across too well to me. So obviously that was just his, you know, choice of an example.
I'm necessarily thinking that this is meant to reflect teaching. I'm thinking more along the lines of, you remember, I know when I was in school, we used to have these the science and the math lessons on SABC 2 or something like that, and it was almost revision and building on what you've already learned in your classroom. But it would come sort of 3 o'clock in the afternoon, twice a week or something like that. But you're reading it obviously as a replacement in the classroom.
Well, I'm just thinking certain teachers obviously read it as that. And so they would be concerned about it. So it would come with a political...
Well, I don't think I have an idea myself, but... I mean, there are some teachers that should be replaced. Let me see hands. I've got Ms. Gina, Dr. Klopitos, Ms. Kanya.
No, Chair. I think it's also a good idea. And from what is happening, though very minimal as it might be, these supplementary lessons that we even get now in the TV, in the SABC, they're quite good and they're quite informative.
Do we get it?
Yes, we do.
When do we get
it? They're in the afternoon or late at night at 10 and beyond. They're quite good and our learners are gaining a lot from it. So I mean to say, they're not there to replace the teachers, but they do supplement and they're quite good.
And they regular are
exactly. They are regular. They've got a program for that. Learners know exactly on which date it's physical science at what time. It's quite a
but
nice format. Yeah, it's for metrics. Maybe it can be expanded, but it's quite a good thing, really, as long as it's not going to replace the teachers. Yeah, but supplementary.
Take down time to me, let me know, because I want to catch one of... I don't watch TV as a...
I will definitely do. My son is following them. Yeah, I will give you the time.
Yeah.
Well, currently have programs on radio, school of things are currently on all the different subjects. Something similar, but without the... The TV part of
the
language. All the subjects. All the subjects, this is
certain day, well, all the days, even on Sunday. I think geography on a Sunday morning is, and it's very, very valuable. I listen at those programs, and they are very, very good.
Is it
in Afrikaans? In Afrikaans, yeah. Radio van de Grenzen. But this submission is good in that they make use of a very good teacher and expose the teacher to as many learners as possible. And the teachers in the classroom then act as facilitators.
Mr.
Kanyako?
Yeah, I think I'm
good. Okay. Just now,
I think it's a good idea. But maybe there are more members of the portfolio committee we can pursue, and knowing that not all the areas where we've got public schools have any kids there of now. Our angle may be that the FABC, which we know that largely relies on the public and on government for funding. For instance, the university channel that is on FABC2 every day is at around about, it starts from 10 past. 12 until 3 a.m. in the morning.
It's about
12
at night.
Midnight. Oh, yeah. Until 3 a.m. Okay. The only thing that, because I've not watched this once, many a time, and it deals with issues that both learners who are coming out of matric, who are still undecided about various fields that they need to take, and also deals with various fields of career. Then, what I think as a committee, because I would assume that considering that the FABC has taken the initiative, then ours may be to embrace and appreciate the fact that the steps towards initiating are already there. Ours may be to say, maybe let's negotiate the issue of time. But also, as a way of maybe we should also invite public or have some opinions being sent to the portfolio committee to for the public to express their how would they think we can arrive at the issue of time. Because I think for me, the only issue that I have is the time. Mm-hmm. It's at a very compact time. And I know that also at Mushabo NN, which is largely the second biggest radio station in South Africa, following the call. They do have from 5:30 every day, and then 5:30 in the afternoon, and then they would have it from 9:30 to 10:00. Very short. Yes. But they do it on the, for instance, you find that on Tuesdays, five, the other day is the subject on that and that and that. But also, I think the time there as well is a bit limited, but of course you will understand that later they rely on commercial and ads to sustain themselves. So I think for me, Chair, I think if we can engage the public in a by them sending their opinion, while having discussions with the FABC to say, how can we find a way of at least changing times? Because even the kids programs that they're having in the morning turn around at 10:12. It's programs that are school related, but they are guiding them in a way that young children are going to be able to find entertaining while they're getting educated.
That sounds good. The issue is, we've also matric, when you say Mishlobo Wenene, there's also matric site.
Yes.
From 5:30 from 9:30. They will have maybe various lectures from various universities, or they will have certain subject specialists on various subjects, but dealing with now issues that are not only within matric and social issues.
And of course,
thank you, Chair. Also, to add on what the others have said, maybe the portfolio should find a way of encouraging schools when they draw their general timetables at the end of the year for the following year. They make sure that it tallies with the time, because it's all radio stations, even Mogalalo Nene, they have very useful programs in the morning for the foundation and intermediate phase. And yes, not all schools have electricity, but we have a lot of schools today in South Africa with electricity than it has ever been. But that those schools that are having electricity can start to include it, because the program is being wasted if it can be utilized in schools. Learners can get the same subject at the same time and be enhanced, because these are not necessarily wasting time, they enhance. They are not taking the educator out of the classroom. They are meant to enhance the education. In fact, that it should be seriously encouraged that the timetable should tally with those. Because radios are very cheap.
Yeah, when you say the timetable should tally, you mean like if biology is on a Wednesday, then Wednesday should be biology in school kind of thing. Is that what you mean?
Yes, because when a general timetable is drawn, it's drawn for the whole school. I'm talking of the gender timetable. And the educators will be taking the timetables. But whoever is requested to do that in school, if they can take into consideration those times and make sure that they can, during that period, the teachers will be going to class, and instead of speaking, the learners will be listening to those.
I think it's a brilliant idea, but I don't know. Personally, I see a small problem with regard to how far one shall have gone with the syllabus. Because if you draw your timetable to tally with those programs, you might find that the topics that will be handled on that particular day have already been dealt with, maybe, or are still coming. So it can be problematic. And I don't know. I just have that problem. But it is good that, personally, I would say it is better if such programs are presented after school to add to what they shall have learned at school. But to tell you with the timetable that will accommodate those programs, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old.
Maybe we should ask the SABC to come and speak to us and tell us how they set up their times, how do they go through with
syllabus,
and how do they coordinate with what is happening in schools and what do they consume by these programs and so on, so that at some level we get an understanding of where they're thinking is, and then we can start saying, but maybe you should think about those things. What do you think?
Actually, they are informed by the syllabus, the curriculum that we're talking about. Besides that, the challenge will be the paradigm shift. We need to embrace them as enhancing. Until we do
that's
that, yeah. Because if we don't, we'll like...
That means something about what you're saying about the timetable and stuff. It works two ways, huh?
Mm.
I mean, it's actually a tool for teachers to use.
But I think that is done. If that is done, I think it will cover the problem
yeah.
I was looking at,
yeah.
because obviously...
So it's that strategy that we need to go, so that they publish their whole program, and teachers who then want to use these things can start talking to their kids about using it as a particular thing. So we'll call them, right?
And I think also, it can work in school to other things, but you can find that maybe the children can be able to take it, for envision purposes, and where there should be anything that the child has not been able to understand in class, then continue to refer himself or herself to the student.
And maybe we can
display
the
SABC
to give three copies of those things that some of the children that are struggling. Now that they're very scared of problems. Okay. So we'll do that, Mr. Brown, you'll make a note on that. What's the time, people? Let's go from 5 o'clock, and then we call it a day.
2030. Mr. Submission 30 refers to benefit education.
Value in education is done. Anybody and discipline. Now I think this is where Ms. Dina wants to start. You basically said that the one aspect that perhaps we haven't looked at quite properly is the issue of discipline. Now I know that. I hope you're not one of those that are going to say to me, remember, you're hope for fun.
No.
But equally, you're saying that the discipline in school is a problem. And what, in your view, is that is lacking? Is it different alternatives for teachers? What is it that's lacking?
Yeah. Different alternatives, I that is what I said. And maybe the whole question, because I cannot say, it's lacking at schools, but it involves within the community. I don't know how to address the whole school communities around the issue of discipline, because already it's quite a problem, but educators, I can feel, they don't have other alternatives on how to discipline our children.
There's discipline and then there's discipline. I was speaking to a bunch of educators not so long ago, and they were saying to me that their problem when it comes to discipline is the issue of what is done. And so, they're not talking about kind of alternative ways to understand the point. I mean, this is Johnny who killed his grandmother. And there are these very, very difficult issues in our society. Certainly, one of the things that teachers constantly talk about is this issue of the support structure that they don't have. So for example, you can't have a teacher who is not qualified dealing with a child who is addicted to drugs, not being supported at some level, either by a psychologist, whatever things are there. And that's really part of the big issue that teachers are raising constantly. They say, we don't mind, going to workshops and going and learning about all of these things. But in a class of 40 or 45, if I have two kids who are disasters and they're on track, I should have some way that somebody comes in and expresses them, and that's what it lacks. But then that situation has compounded stuff. Firstly, learning and teaching is the teacher is exasperated, not able to handle the situation correctly, and is then just not solving the problem, it exacerbates the problem, because then the teacher becomes another part of the problem, so to speak. And this vicious cycle just makes sense. But if have now that's in a situation where there is one or two kids. But if you're in on the case flat, for example, where you have more than two kids, you're not able to get through because you know that there's a flat, there's a whole lot of, you know, drug dealing going on in the playground, then you're not dealing. So those are the signs of discipline. So that's what I'm saying. There's discipline issues and then there's are really more sensible on social issues. And they're certainly one of the things that we have to start looking at. Is to say, if those things are there to support schools, and the real support isn't about necessarily going there and saying, we want you to give your assessment of the police and whatever. The real support has to be in the form of having social workers that are available, psychologists, all other kinds of support structures that schools do need, particularly ones that are tackling those kinds of things. But I think Ms. Dino is talking about another issue, which is your ordinary that Johnny didn't do his homework and refuses to do his homework for the next 24 hours. What are you going to do? Just put him in the corner?
I was going to say that I thought the important aspect was, and you see it quite often in these submissions, and I certainly hear it too in the field, is that teachers feel, schools feel they aren't supported by the department. So they report problem children time and again, and those children are never taken away. So in the absence of support structures, and support structures may be part of the answer, but I think they're not going to solve the problem in every case. There must be a way of taking these kids out and dealing with them somewhere else, and I think we should look at that seriously. On the issue of day-to-day discipline, I still have a completely open mind on corporal punishment, but I'd like to hear more. I mean, is there any way we can get some more information on that?
My mother, she's a real shamba.
Yeah, everybody's mother did, you see, but this is why I don't ignore it completely, but I'd like to hear some studies on it.
There's a different perspective to discipline. I would like to focus on the fact that we don't only get problem learners, we get problem teachers. Discipline guarantees quality education. And you won't have any disciplinary problems in your classroom if you come to your classroom well prepared and amaze the learners with what you have to say in the classroom. You will never have any problems with discipline. So I would like to focus on problem teachers also.
Thank you. I want to add to what the fact that if you know what you're doing, then if you know what you're doing in the classroom, there is minimal concern about discipline. There is no time for that because you're busy with the learner. That I know. But then there's a document. My understanding was that the document was from National while I was in the classroom. It's entitled Alternative to Corporal Punishment. It's there in schools. Now, the challenge is that documents may be prepared at relevant levels, and there is no implementation there. The document is very good. It comes with other, isn't it? The law is saying corporal punishment is abolished. If you do it, you might be fired. You know that. So that you can't, you don't debate the law in the classroom. You implement. Yes, corporal punishment was there, and people are saying it has destroyed this country. It's a crazy world and everything. But if they can check why there was an agreement like this, I remember a child was walloped, and the child seated next to that particular child lost his eye. I know that person. The eye is gone in the classroom because the lens that was used got broken, and the eye was gone for good. And people had to look at this and say, this kind of punishment is not correct. And nobody said that people must stop disciplining their kids at home following their religion, whatever religion they believe in. We'll say, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Didn't say as a teacher, talking to parents, And parents do not want to do this job. They want it done by the educators. That's why there's a lot of noise that this country is in a mess. If it says parents must do their job, and there's an alternative methods to cooperate. You don't have to wallop the child. The child can be made to stand. A lot of things, just to give you an example, you can punish a child, you can ground them. You know, if a child is grounded during break, other people go out, and whenever you remain in the classroom, those are the methods that should be looked into. Because children of today, of all then days also, they were not just given a chance, were not given a chance. They reason with you. They look you in the eye and they talk to you. 6, 5 year olds. They you know, in the past, when people were counted, I'm rounding up, they counted males. The children and the women were not counted, if you remember, religiously speaking. But times have come when we are seated here, being women, and there's nothing wrong with it. A time will come when people realize that children are human beings. They're just young, and they must be treated as human beings. Now, if you, this corporate punishment, whatever we do, we should not lobby it back, because those who should do it are the parents, that they should do their work and follow alternatives to corporal punishment. Thank you.
I think one, I agree with the previous speaker that an idea that maybe we can arrive at wanting to remove the corporal punishment, I don't think fully it would work, because often things, how personally I have observed what was happening, for my personal opinion, for that term would drop kids at school, and they would just assume that this child is not mine between half past 7 and 2 o'clock. And what happens between that time doesn't concern them, which is enough. Because as a parent, you never speak to the parent of your child. The fact that your child is on a temporal basis of maybe 8 hours or 11 hours is at the school does not exonerate you from continuously making sure that you are part of that child's discipline. But I think coming to issues that relate to alternatives, I would appreciate a situation where maybe we are to say, for instance, maybe let me just draw an example of the best performing school, which got 100%, the one that was invited by the minister when she was doing the school funding program. That principal said, we don't have all the resources that the school requires for us to obtain the 100% that we obtained. But an amalgamation of disciplined children and committed and equally disciplined teachers have attained that. So it tells you that discipline is a two-way tool. Exactly what Umamko is saying. What the teacher presents in class will be seen in his or her learners. And what your learners come out to be will be what they have done for you as a teacher. Not only out of course, but also as a parent. When we send the children to school, we've got a responsibility in the evening when we come back from work to say, bring back, come, speak with me, bring me your homework. You go through, you ask, why did you get 14 out of 15 years? Why should you not get this 14 out of 14? And that's your daily involvement and your regular involvement, not only in as far as guarding the corners of the teacher, but that is also whether your child is doing the work that you're sending there to do. Because as one sometimes shared, we tend to be concerned about how the teacher is teaching the kids. We don't want to be concerned of how is my child taking the learning and the teaching that the teacher is giving him or her. And I think as part of our of views and ideas that we may want to come up with, or reinforcing that document that Mampo is talking about, to say, as FGBs,
we must propose, our sons are about to be proposing school to say, a child would have not been able to do a homework for 4 days on the 5th day with no written explanation from the parent. The parent must take her child from school, and the child must come back when the parent is able to give satisfactory response to the school or to the teacher or to the principal as to what is happening here. Because you, sometimes when you say, for instance, go stand, you are going to remain in class when the school is out, you are going for detention. It's a detention, they get to be 10. They are a group of fun loving kids, they will come and enjoy their time and talk about their even punishment. But the minute, as a parent as well, you are made to be responsible, and you know that you are not going to be exonerated by what your child is going to be doing at school. You are not going to want to be this parent who is a lecture in the school. Every time your child is problematic, you are brought to school, because it's in the answer as well. You ought to be addressed, you must go to the principal, or go to the class teacher, you must go to the writing explanation, and letters, and all those things. They are inconveniencing you, and they're then taking you back to focus your child to what he is at school for.
I'm just thinking about the teaching of values. Actually, she touched on one small thing about a small child looking you in the eyes. We have some problems here when it comes to teaching with values, because the question is, which values do you teach? Is it indigenous values or Western values? That is how I would ask it, because I personally had a problem at some stage with a person presenting in a class. We were in a class, and then he was presenting a case and describing a child that he interviewed, and said he was sneaky, and we wanted to understand this sneakiness, and the sneakiness comes from looking the teacher in the eye, or the person who was doing the interview in the eye. Now, in the opinion of that person, if a child looks you in the eye, it's fine. If the child looks down, he's sneaky. In other words, there's something that this child is hiding. Now, this creates a problem, because, to be very honest, with the indigenous, we may differ from place to place, but with the indigenous culture, we don't expect a child to be looking me in the eye, because we say now he has eyes on the forehead. This child with eyes on the forehead, and so on. So we have to be very careful what we really teach, because you might find that what you teach is what the parents, what you oppose is what the parents encourage. At school, you must look me in the eyes. At home, don't look me in the eyes. So it can be a problem. It's just a comment.
Chairperson, I think we hear the arguments. Yes, it's quite good to do. Sometimes you can say you are talking of a very ideal country, a very ideal situation. These are the situations where we wish to see things like that. I'm just referring to some of the comments that have been made, where in most of the cases where you talk of a parent, you are in a school, you talk of to a learner of a parent, there is not even a parent. There is no way where you get that. Those are the situations that I believe we are faced with in our country. There are so much orphans, even the broken families and whatever. So ideally, so it's quite good if ever we can sit in the boardroom like this and talk about it like this. But there are so many things that we should dig deeper and see when you talk of discipline, what are the things that you are talking about? What is the real situation down there? Ideally, so I think we are discussing it. It's quite good, but really there are so many other factors that you can talk of when you talk of discipline. It's quite a broad topic that we can discuss. And let me hope we're not, this is not an end today, but really, when we talk on a practical situation, it's quite a challenge down there at schools.
I think on that note, I think
that is correct. As I said, there are discipline issues and then there are discipline issues. And it's really very, very difficult. I mean, I know of a teacher, I may have mentioned this before, but she says to me that she comes to school in the morning, it's an Afrikaans teacher, Afrikaner lady, and she teaches in a school where my mother lives. And she comes in the morning and she barks
a child before the before school starts, because this child is so neglected. And it's not like this child doesn't have parents. He has parents. She baths him, she gives him breakfast, and then she goes to school. So, you know, to ask a teacher to just, you know, we glibly sit and we speak about discipline issues and so on. I think it's quite correct, this issue of parents, the issue of responsibility. A child is a human being, first and foremost, before a commodity. And you have to understand that the challenges in our society are so extreme sometimes. And it's not a generalized thing, you know. You can have a child from very wealthy parents, very well-to-do parents, and that child's on drugs. You know, some parents, I'm not going to mention names, and he came to me and said, you know, I made the biggest mistake sending my child to a private school. They're not from a very well-to-do family. They have only the one child, and they wanted to do the best by this child. And they sent this child to a very posh school, very expensive, and one of the better schools in the country. And this child ended up being addicted to drugs because that's what the other kids were doing, because they have the wherewithal to do that. And so, you know, it's very complicated. Life is not simple anymore, but it's quite true. The teacher has a big role and a big influence on the child. I don't care what people say, but teachers can be huge influences on individuals. You can come from a very broken home. You can come from a very destitute situation. But if you have a teacher who cares, and a teacher who is disciplined, and a teacher who is the role model, there is no end to the impact that that will have on the life of that young child. Equally, parents, society, all of us have a role to play. It doesn't help for the media to constantly portray priests, for example, as charlatans and so on. It doesn't help, because where does that child find faith? Where does that child find role models? You know, politicians are out the door long ago, so that's not going to work. Where else but a teacher? And if you have a teacher then who is ill-disciplined, who doesn't care what they're doing in the classroom, who really has got no self-respect, let alone respect for others, then clearly the child is just lost to our system. So the teacher is like your last frontier for me. And if there's any difference that our society can hope to achieve, I think the last bastion would be our teachers. So on that very, very interesting note and poignant note, shall we adjourn for next week? What Mr. Bundy is doing in the meantime is he's drafting as we go along some of our discussions for the purposes of the report. So what he's going to do is going to take our discussions, put it down on paper as far as possible in a very draft way, and then pull together some kind of draft for us, so that at least when we start discussing our issues, we've got something before us, right? So it won't be a perfect document. And those of you who hold very strong views on very important subjects arising from these submissions, hold true to those thoughts, because we want you to then contribute to that report to make it, you know, to refine it and to make sure that we capture the essence of our discussions as well, okay? What I wanted to tell you was, three members of the portfolio committee have been invited to attend as VIPs the AAD 2010. Mm-hmm. What is the AAD 2010? It is the what do you call this? South African Air Force. What air? Anyway, it's this air show which happened.
September.
Of September, and 24th and 25th. So invite 21st, 24th, 25th. Okay? The 21st is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know the 24th and 25th is a weekend. So the Tuesday. It's a weekday, okay. Those of you who are interested in aircraft and flying and so on and so on and so on, let Mr. Brown know. If there are more than three names, we'll try and cut it down. But those of you who are really keen on this kind of thing, happy for you to go. Three of us have been invited, and if we need more invitations, I'm sure we can impose on them. Okay? It's here. Yeah. But we have to tell them by the 13th of August. Okay. All right, so please, as soon as possible, if you're interested, let Mr. Brown know today.